Today on Real Radio.
A carnal Christian sits back and is very skilled at the remote, knows every channel on their programming, but can't find one verse in the Bible. Can't contribute to anyone's spiritual welfare. And so you get involved in ministry. There's no excuse.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're now in chapter 3, where the apostle gets very specific on how believers are to conduct themselves now that they're saved and set apart. Otherwise, they are mere men and no different than non-believers. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Christians Behaving Badly.
Carnal is to respond to the flesh, to be obedient to the flesh, to be subservient to the flesh. Sarx, carnal. The Christian who's been born again as yet now still has its loyalties to the flesh, the demands of the flesh. Paul says, I can't talk to you about spiritually deep things because your brain, your heart, your lifestyle won't even go deeper with me. You guys, I hate to tell you this, but it's absolutely true. The reason why we have trials and difficulties in life as a Christian, if you and I knew the true glory that is in a trial, we'd actually sign up for them. You know how we, let's be honest, you know how we do everything to avoid them? The sooner we figure out that we cannot get in trouble when we follow God. When we follow God, we follow God. And when we follow God, we wind up being in places that He's ordained. And thereby, you cannot be in trouble when you follow Him. You see, well, what if somebody throws rocks at me? Hey, first of all, they're throwing rocks at God if you followed Him. Okay, at some point you're going to duck and it's going to hit the Lord right in the robe or somewhere and the Lord's going to come to your defense. You follow God, you don't have to worry about it. And let me tell you, be encouraged. The more you follow God, the more you're going to be criticized. The more you're going to be attacked. The more you're going to be mocked. The more you're going to be fill in the blank. The great thing is to be on God's side as you follow Him. And so Paul is saying, I want you to be spiritual, but you're not. You're in fact carnal, you're fleshly. But why is that the case? Because they are caught up in the flesh, and the word means to have a fleshly existence. Their affection, the word means that their affections are divided. They have a divided heart. Imagine in a relationship, a husband and a wife, and that husband or that wife has divided affections for someone else. That is horrific. It's terrifying. It's wrong. But the truth of the matter is, my friend, the Bible tells us, for example, that God wants us to be advancing. He doesn't want us to go back to Egypt, as was the case with the children of Israel. And for us today, listen, you need to ask yourself, are you going back to Egypt in your Christian walk? Are you no longer advancing? Paul is saying, you may very well be carnal. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, he says there, 2 Timothy 2, 3, he says, you therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Can you imagine somebody going into battle and he's got his flat screen TV with him as he heads into some battle zone? Can you imagine some guy going into a war theater and he's pulling behind him a wagon full of his Xbox and NASCAR models or whatever he's got? I don't know what he's got, but you don't take your toys to battle. And you don't drag your private life, Paul is saying, into the things that God's enlisted you into. God becomes so prominent in your life that you understand, I'm a Christian soldier, as it were, in the spiritual warfare of this battle, and I'm going to let God dictate what's valuable in my life. So listen, the thing is that we suffer when we do not eat what we should be eating, and that is the Word of God should be eaten up in our lives. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, actually maybe like a month ago now, I gave a challenge to the Wednesday nighters to read slowly over the course of 30 days the book of Philippians. I challenged the Wednesday night group to get up 1 hour early in their mornings before they start their day and to read the book of Philippians and to see what happens in 30 days. And I've been hearing people tell me what's happening to their lives over the last 30 days. already. They're not even, I think, completed the 30 days. God's word is radicalizing their life to the glory of God. They are excited. They're getting answers to their prayer life, they're telling me. They've seen God reward them for their commitment to him. Secondly, under this point, it's not that they just wouldn't eat what they should be eating. They won't grow up because they don't have a very good diet. They choose to eat junk. They're babes in Christ. They're stunted. The word means that their development has been retarded. He says, I fed you with milk, and milk's great for a season. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. The word receive it, they spit it up. And even now you're still not able. You're still spitting it up. So first of all, mark this down, Bible student. It's kind of fun to know this. What is the milk that Paul is referring to, and what's the meat? Well, it's understood this way, that the milk is the doctrinal things of the earthly ministry of Jesus. I gave you milk. Listen, Christian, if you're a Christian this morning, the doctrinal milk of the ministry of Jesus Christ and his earthly ministry are things that should be extremely well known to you. Hang on to your seat. Listen carefully. Do you name the name of Jesus? Do you say you know him? If the answer to that is yes, then you ought to be able to lead someone else to Christ. You should know how to do that. That's why we have the call ministry here to teach you how to do that. If you are the most fresh new believer, you ought to know the difference between heaven and hell and how to get there. You should know the difference as to how is a person saved? Based upon what does God save a man or a person or how? These are fundamental things. Do you know that there are fundamental truths to being a Christian that if you don't know, you're not really a Christian? There are fundamental truths. Do you know how and do you know why Jesus had to be virgin born? That Mary had to be a virgin. The Old Testament demands it. Why? These are basic things. Did you know that you must be baptized into the body of Christ? I didn't say water. That's a step of obedience, and that's a beautiful thing. But how does a person get baptized into the body of Christ? You should know the difference. When does that happen? These are fundamental things that are basic to Christianity. That's the milk. John 3:16, that's milk, basic. What's the meat? The meat is the practical doctrines of life. What does that mean? The meat is this. I'm having anger thoughts. Where do I go in the Bible to find that? I need to get a decision from God about my job. I need to know where to go in the Bible to find the instruction on that. When somebody comes and shares something with you, you turn to the Bible and you give them the answer. Everything, listen, Christian, everything that you and I do, there should be a biblical dialogue going on with one another. That is the spiritual man. That is the person. When we get together and talk, we dialogue. If Kevin and I are going to talk, this should be a dialogue based upon Scripture. If James and I are going to talk, it should be based upon Scripture. These are the things that are the meat of the word. It's what surrounds our lives. That's the spiritual man. Do you lean to the Bible? Do you find yourself leaning on the Bible more and more? You are a spiritual man or woman. But are you being led by your emotions? You know Jesus died on the cross for your sins, but your emotions dictate your life. More on that in a moment. But the diet is not very good that the person's consuming. In a nutshell, not much Bible time. A lot of news time, a lot of Oprah time, a lot of sitcom time, a lot of radio time, no Bible time. The Bible said, Paul is telling us in these words, that we are in fact carnal. 1 Peter 2:1 says, therefore, laying aside all malice, this is a great word, it sounds so nice, laying aside malice. He says, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking, laying it aside. The word means to throw it away from you. You ever seen somebody driving down? This drives me crazy. You ever been driving down the highway and somebody throws trash out their car? Does that drive you crazy or is it me? Oh, I want to be a police officer so bad at that moment. And I have my James Bond pictures in my mind of my grill of my car opening up and machine gun fire coming out of the grill because the guy throws his Burger King bag out the window. Oh! But in a spiritual way, that's what that word means. Take the junk and throw it out. As Christians, that's how the spiritual man walks, grabbing the junk that we assimilate in this life and we throw it out. Get rid of it. He says in 1 Peter 2:1, therefore laying aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Isn't that a great word? When a baby's born and we got a brand new granddaughter, what does she want? She wants milk. But let me tell you something. She's getting to that zone now where the doctor is saying, I think she's getting ready soon to get whatever they get next. You know, green beans or carrots or eggplant. I don't know what's in those bars. And you got to get the camera going when this happens because they're so used to the milk, they're accustomed to the milk, and then you bring in the first scoop of carrots and you've got to have the camera rolling because the expressions on the face is, what? It's got to be introduced. As a Christian, you need to be growing day by day and eating greater types of food for strength and for development. And if you don't keep feeding that child in the levels of its growth, they will become anemic. They will have bad bone development. Their eyesight will not improve. You will starve this child in a lot of ways. The same is true about spiritual things. Have you been a Christian for 10 years, but you still drinking milk? I got news for you. You have a spiritual bone decay. You have atrophy. But can you say in 10 years you have grown stronger and deeper in the things of God? Your diet is good. The carnal Christian's diet is not good. Hebrews 5:12 says this, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you. Again, the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is great. Okay, you guys, I'm pushing 53, and here's the deal. My bones are hurting. So A, I can choose to eat Advil for breakfast. I'll have two Advils and a slice of bacon, please. Or, and this is what I've been doing lately, it's painful, but it's great, is to get out and start walking and jogging. My doctor says, walk and jog. Don't just jog, that'll kill you. Just walk and jog, walk and jog, walk and jog. Why? I said, look, I can understand the walk part, but what's the jog part? He said, the jog part you gotta have. The jog part of your body hitting the pavement strengthens your bones and the flow of nutrients in your bones as you get older. Jump rope, run, jog, do something. But get, he said, a little bit of violence going on and shock to your bones. Isn't it interesting that the Bible says the spiritual person can only grow if you get out there and exercise yourself in the things of a life developing with God? What does that mean? It means you sign up for GMO. I'm not joking. I don't know what some of you might be thinking when we say sign up for GMO, sign up to be an usher, sign up to be children's ministry, sign up for a discipleship class, sign up for ministry. What? You might, if you're carnal, you're sitting on the other side of this podium and you're thinking, they just want me to do stuff here. You don't understand. It's going to get done with or without you. Do you think the kingdom of God will not function without you? Here's the most tragic thing in the universe for me. God will just step over you and find someone else. I don't know about you, but I don't like being left behind in anything. I don't even like being late. I'm afraid I might miss something. The reason why we offer so many ministries for you to get involved in it is because maybe one of those you'll step up to and jump into, and guess what? You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to meet people you don't like. You said, can you say that in a church? Oh, trust me. You'll meet people you don't like. And here's the fun part. You got to love them because they're your brother or sister. Pastor, how do I love them when I don't even like them? That's Christianity. Oh, God, give me love for this brother. That's real living, my friend. That is real discipleship. A carnal Christian sits back and is very skilled at the remote, knows every channel on their programming, but can't find one verse in the Bible. Can't contribute to anyone's spiritual welfare. And so you get involved in ministry. There's no excuse. I hope it doesn't happen at this church, but imagine the day when we stand in judgment before the Lord Jesus, and you might be thinking hypothetically, I don't think we'll say anything like this at the moment, but can you imagine when Jesus says, okay, what'd you do for me? What'd you do for me? I don't care about anything you've ever done in your past. I died on the cross for that. That's forgotten. But now that you're saved, what'd you do for me? I want to know, what'd you do? Well, you know, I thought about a lot of stuff to do. Listen, this won't even fly. I prayed about so many things. Christians sometimes have the biggest cop-out statement in the universe. I'm going to pray about that. I wish we had the Pinocchio syndrome as Christians. You know, I'm going to pray about that. Boop! I'm really going to pray hard about that. Boop! The nose just grows. I'm not going to pray about it. You're ditching class. Look, there's a person over there on the street corner hungry. You know, I'm going to pray about helping that person. That's a disgrace. There's so many things that we can be involved in. Where does that come from? From you eating the Word of God. The Bible goes out, it gets into your heart, it changes your life. Also this, they just won't grow up because they can't keep things down. Paul says they keep spitting stuff up. He says, even now you're still not able to even handle the milk. You certainly can't handle the meat. It just comes up. You're not even able to receive it. The word means that you still can't receive it. You weren't able, you're not. The word also implies that you can't digest anything that is of value. They couldn't keep it down. Think about what they cannot keep down. I went through the Bible, found out some things about how the word is communicated as food. The bread, they can't keep it down. The honey of God's word, they can't keep down. The meat of God's word, they can't keep down. Colossians 3:14 says, but above all these things, put on love. A carnal Christian is not interested in loving people unless they'll be the star recipient of their act of so-called love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. A carnal Christian has no peace. To which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. A carnal Christian complains about everything. And let the word of Christ dwell in you. What's the word? Richly. It means that it's got a grip of your fiber of who you are, the Bible. You eat, sleep, drink, talk, think, Bible. You say, Pastor, man, that sounds like legalism to me. That's carnal to think like that. It is. They just won't grow up. Point number two is found in verse 3. And that is Christians behaving badly is this, that they won't play nice. They just don't play nice. Why? Because their emotions get the best of them. You ever seen kids playing? And the kid is just emotionally fixated on self. They don't play nice. They can't share a thing. Somebody brings out something. That's mine. The kid grabs it. And then somebody else brings out that. And the kid grabs it. He just keeps grabbing everything, pulls it to himself. He's got 400 toys around him when his neighbor kid sitting next to him's got nothing. Man, I tell you, if that's going on in your child's life, you better start teaching them to share now before it's too late. Man, because when they grow up, you know what they do? They grow up into a world like we live in right now, and I'm stuttering right now because I'm assuming if they move out of your house, I'm saying, how do I say this when they get old? 26 years old now, right? Healthcare program covers a kid who's 26, a child 26, a child 26, a 20, can you imagine? You want to talk about carnal in a culture that's raised up, and it's happening in the church. It's happening in a God context. A person grows up like this. Give it to me. Give it to me. Take out the trash. No. You give it to me, and then I might take out the trash. Think about that. 26-year-old man still living at home. The government says, yeah, you got to pay for his health care. You say, Jack, what does that have to do with anything? Think of this. A Christian. A Christian walking around, full-grown Christian person. Complaining, whining, griping, contributing nothing to the family of God, even though God has done everything for them. It's all self-centered. Those are my toys. It's my world. It's all about me. I want this. How come you guys, I'm not coming back. Oh, I wish I could share with you guys my email I get. The emails I get is amazing stuff. Did you ever think about the sanctuary? It's too much bland. The walls are kind of beige. The seats are beige and the carpet's beige. It's just too much. People come to church. Where? There's a lot of glass but no stained window. What do you do with that? I got a phone call last week from a guy who was all upset out of the area, listening to the radio program, completely misunderstood the whole program. He's not a Christian. But it's like, man. And the Lord says, Jack, don't go carnal on me now. Bear up with them. Yes, but there's some people in the church that won't play nice because their emotions get in the way. He says in verse 3, for you are still carnal. Paul's lamenting this. You're not growing up. Well, how do we know if they're carnal? There's envy. Look, there's envy among you. He says, are you not behaving like men, behaving badly? Envy. You're still carnal because envy. The word is a very powerful one. It means this. Your heart is inflamed. Indignation. We get the word jealousy from this. Having a passion to put down someone else. Envy. To have a passion to overcome someone. To be at war. The word means to be at war with another person in one's heart or mind. We get the word seethe. To seethe. Envy. Paul says you're carnal and you're not an effective Christian because you're envious.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a study called Christians Behaving Badly. It's a look at the first 15 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul gets pretty specific on how believers are to conduct themselves now that they're saved and set apart from the rest of the world. Christians Behaving Badly. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament book, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, tomorrow and Friday, we're going to bring you a special Thanksgiving presentation called Let Your Thanks Be Heard. Speaking of which, Pastor Jack is right here to give us a few words on what Scripture says about being thankful to the Almighty for all that we have. Pastor Jack?
Hey, the Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus." This is Pastor Jack at Real Radio, and from all of us here, we want to extend the warmest and the biggest blessing upon you this Thanksgiving season. And you know, Thanksgiving is an awesome thing if you think about it. You can't unwrap it, you can't go buy it, you can't present it. You know, Thanksgiving is something that you have to choose to do. It is a discipline of life to be thankful. And so, in the midst of all that's going on in the world, there's no excuse for the Christian to not be thankful. And by the way, it's one of the greatest things that we can pass on to our friends and family, mostly to our children, to be grateful, thankful that we might have a roof over our head, or people who love us, or a cup of water for that matter. Thank you, God, for all that you've given us. And so may you have an amazing Thanksgiving, and may you be bold about telling others about how good your God has been to you. From all of us here at Real Radio, we are so thankful for you, and we're thankful to our Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Pastor Jack. Remember to visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. And from all of us here at Real Radio, we're thankful for you. Thanks for joining us as often as you can, and have a great Thanksgiving to you and everyone you love. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.